This is VFR Kature and you're listening to WGXC Accra 98.7 FM.
Yeah, Thursday, such a crazy, lazy day.
That's right, another lazy Thursday afternoon here at WGXC.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, Ellen. Ellen, by the way, is Ellen Thurston.
And Tom is the famous Thomas DiPietro.
Oh, please, please. Not famous. No, 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 no.
He's semi-famous.
Yes, I'll accept that.
And I'm Jake Ebel. Tune in to the Thursday afternoon show from 4 to 6 p.m. on WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by Old Hudson Market, purveyors of fine cheeses, meats, fish, charcuterie, and pantry products, and Old Hudson Cafe, serving coffees, sandwiches, salads, and soups, and ice cream. Old Hudson is located at 449 Warren Street and is open every day. 518-828-6923 or at oldehudson.com.
Good afternoon, this is At Issue, an abbreviated At Issue, on WGXC 90.7 FM and streaming at WGXC.org. I'm Victor Mandolia, and my guest today is Steve Dunn, who is running for Common Council President. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Victor. Thank you for inviting me. Great to be here.
But we are still in the middle of our pledge drive. We've extended the pledge drive because we haven't raised enough money yet. So what we'd love for you to do right now is to give us a call here at the station at 518-697-7400 and make a pledge to WGXC. Keep us on the air. We have a pledge premium right now, but there's only one, so the next caller will get it. If you make a $50 pledge, you'll get a $25 gift certificate for New World Home Cooking with Chef Rick Orlando. So we only have one. So give us a call right now. Make a pledge of $50 and or more, and you will receive a $25 gift certificate for New World Home Cooking. One of the things that our listeners should know is that, and pay attention to and realize about WGXC, is that we are the only station locally that many, many different voices can be heard on your radio airwaves. Even the local NPR stations are not as broad and as welcoming and as open as WGXC is. So we serve a very different and a very important mission here in Columbia and Greene counties, and that's why we're asking you to make a contribution to the station to keep us on the air. We can't do it without listener contributions, and right now we have raised about let me pull up the tote board. We have raised $12,245 of the $20,000 goal. So we're going to be in this for a little bit unless people give us a call and make that contribution. One thing that you could do, and this is what I've done in the past, is make a recurring contribution. You can do a contribution, a small contribution each month, and sometimes that makes it a little easier to take the hit of the contribution. But and it also helps us because we get to know what kind of money and how much each month will be coming in, and that lets us plan a little better. So think about making a recurring contribution, but at least make any contribution, and no amount is too small. $5 is perfectly fine if that's what you can afford, and you can do that by giving us a call here at the station at 518-697-7400, or you can donate online, which is a lot of people think is the easier way, the easiest way, and that's how I do it. WGXC.org/donate. if you are not really up on the interwebs and you're not really interested in putting in your credit card information on online, you can also send us a check the old-fashioned way. So you can do that by sending us a check to WGXC, care of Wave Farm. Wave Farm is our parent organization. 5662 Route 23, ACRA, A-C-R-A, New York, 12505. So please give us a call here. If you appreciate At Issue, if you appreciate all of the other shows that you hear here, the sounds, the music, the voices, the people, if you appreciate it, show us a little love and give us a call here or go online and make a contribution. So, Steve, let us know a little bit about what's going on. You're running for Common Council President. Looks like it will be a primary with Tom DiPietro, another a radio programmer here at the station. What made you run?
I've been involved in civic affairs in Hudson since I moved here, and I've been somewhat frustrated by the city agrees on the goals that it needs to achieve, but actually achieving them and moving forward has been a slow and sometimes ineffective process. And so I'm running not only to discuss the issues and approaches I think we need to consider, but also my ideas about how we can more effectively actually accomplish some concrete steps towards addressing Hudson's issues.
And what are those issues that you, as far as you're concerned?
Well, affordable housing is on everybody's list. Economic development on the north side and transportation, particularly for low-income citizens, mm-hmm. to get out of the food desert and to Fairview Avenue, where there's affordable food, sidewalks, which are a menace and dangerous, more open government and civic involvement, which I think not only is good in and of itself, and particularly at this time where there's so much energy and interest now in Hudson after the successful Fair and Equal campaign, but also to get people to help put a laboring oar in the water to work on some of these issues. Mm-hmm. And one power the Common Council President has is to put not only council people on committees, but private citizens on subcommittees. Mm-hmm. And I would reach out to people with a passion and an interest in specific issues. And expertise would be helpful, too. Mm-hmm. And they can work on these things. They can help draft the legislation. They can help with the research. Mm-hmm. The city, due to its financial condition and because we're so small, has very limited staff to do thinking. It has a staff to do day-to-day things,
right.
But not these long-term, difficult issues.
Mm-hmm. So let me get this straight. You would invite members of the public to participate and be actual voting members of Common Council committees?
No, they couldn't vote, but they would be at the same table mm-hmm. with the council people on
right.
those committees
mm-hmm.
and engage in the discussion and help do research and help write the legislation and, you know, in conjunction with council.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the real work is done.
Right.
Once you get a good product that makes sense, that's been discussed and in open forums with citizen input, the passage of the thing is often almost anticlimactic.
Right.
That's where the real work is done.
Right.
And so all too often, there isn't a lot of real work being done mm-hmm. for a variety of reasons. And I've seen it and been motivated to pitch in myself from time to time,
right.
like the lodging tax legislation, mm-hmm. where I just volunteered to rewrite it and mm-hmm. make it work.
Right.
And
how is that met? Like you've been working on a number of legal issues for the council. Are you being accepted, or how is that?
Sometimes I'm more accepted than other times, but I have a very good relationship with Mike O'Hara, who is now chairman of the legal mm-hmm. committee, and he's been very receptive. And for the lodging tax, I took a look at what the situation was and reached out to get templates that were appropriate and rewrote them to make it work for Hudson, mm-hmm. reflecting the business deal that had been adopted, and presented a draft.
Right.
And then Mike and I spent several hours going over it. He had good suggestions. Heather Campbell is an extremely competent lady.
Heather, who's our city treasurer.
Our city treasurer gave good comments. Mm-hmm. And after several sets of intelligent eyes looked at it, we had a good piece of legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And one type of legislation that you don't want any mistakes in is tax legislation.
Right, right.
Because money's moving.
Sure.
Based on those little words that you write.
Mm-hmm. So now the lodging tax is in effect. It started on June 1st. Was the bill that you wrote essentially what was passed, or was there a lot of alterations to it?
Well, other people had input in it, mm-hmm. and made suggestions and changes, but basically the template and the work product and a lot of the legal boilerplate, enforcement mechanisms and tax liens and all kinds of things, mm-hmm. were put in.
Right.
And so basically it was passed not all that dissimilar,
mm-hmm.
with some changes,
right.
from my template.
Mm-hmm. I see. Now, you were intricately involved in the Fair and Equal campaign, which, for our listeners who don't know, Hudson was the only city in the country that used a weighted vote based on population of the wards, because we didn't change ward boundaries. I think they hadn't been changed since the 1800s, I think, right?
Correct.
And what happened over time was that the council had some members of the council had almost three or four times the weighted vote of the smallest weighted votes. The first ward and the fourth ward had the smallest. The council, the council passed equal population districts, and Mayor Hallenbeck vetoed it. And then this year it didn't really go before the council until the citizens petition, because didn't look like it was going to pass, I guess. Is that correct? Do I have the chronology right?
Basically what we did was prepare a petition,
right.
and then circulated it, obtaining signatures, and then presented that to the council, which then had a period of time to consider it. And we anticipated that they would not approve it, which turned out to be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And then we submitted some additional signatures and got it on the ballot.
And that's the way around this problem, right?
That's right. And actually, because there really isn't a template for this process,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't been done successfully almost anywhere in the state of New York,
mm-hmm.
That was quite a challenge to write, to make sure it withstood legal scrutiny, because
mm-hmm.
I would have hated to be responsible for something that passed and then was tossed out for a legal defect.
Right.
I would have had died under my bed and never service again.
Right.
But you know, the great thing about it is it's really energized the city.
Mm-hmm.
All kinds of new people are running, people are retiring, people are interested in our city and getting involved. And it's an exciting time to mm-hmm. be interested in Hudson's civic life.
Well, I think it's going to be amazing to see equal votes on the council. I mean, I can't wait to see it.
What a concept.
It's really... It
caused a lot of resentment.
Right.
You know, whether it should have or not, it just did. People mm-hmm. were demoralized, and it caused acrimony.
It also is not transparent. The public can be at a meeting, and they don't understand if something passed or not, which is pathetic.
Not without the calculator.
Right. And just so people know, the equal population districts and the equal voting on the council has not happened yet. It doesn't happen until January 1st, when the new council is seated. First, they're going to run in equal population districts, and then they will be seated, and they will have one person, one vote.
One thing that has happened, though, is all the voters are now in their new wards,
right.
for purposes of circulating candidate petitions.
Right. Yes, and my walk list was correct, actually, from the Board of Elections. That was good. So Now, you also were involved in the redistricting. You helped draw the maps. And I guess some people may not know, but you are like an election district freak from way back, right? I mean, this is one of the things that, you know, it's almost like you landed here, you know, like as an angel to help the city because you've been obsessed with election districts and voting power and that kind of thing your whole life, apparently.
Pretty much, starting with maps. I used to trace countries as a 6 or 7 year old. My favorite country was Indonesia with all those interesting islands. I can't really say it pertained per se to Hudson, but I've been involved in a project to create a model redistricting code, which will get rid of gerrymandering, which might appeal to the courts. So right. I've been interested in that issue. But this was just a time-consuming, laborious process of looking at the census blocks, adding up the populations, drawing the lines, and making it all work.
And you went into it with the goal was to have the least change possible, I think, right?
That's correct. I tried to honor existing lines, tried to honor as much as practicable communities of interest, and I was sensitive to making sure our minority population had adequate representation, so I generated all of the demographic data to make sure that was the case. Mm-hmm. Wasn't perfect, and Hudson Terrace apartments is still split, and so some things you want to do just aren't practical to do.
Mm-hmm. And what was the deal with the terrace apartments? Why could they not be together?
Because the second ward needed to lose population, not gain it. So
right.
If it gained yet more, then you might have been moved to the fourth ward. You know, one thing, there's an action, there's a reaction.
I see, right.
So it just wasn't possible.
So you mentioned a few issues that you think are the things that you're going to focus on. So do you mind like expanding on those a little bit and talk a little bit about how you would help solve some of those problems? Because they're complicated. I mean, some of them are. Some of them aren't really, but...
Everything's complicated.
Well, right.
Except transportation, which is...
Well, that was what I was thinking.
A function of, I think we're going to have to subsidize it. Mm-hmm. And that means revenue, and I have some ideas to get more revenues without raising taxes.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they are affordable. Affordable housing is a huge issue. Everybody's talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've become acutely aware of, just canvassing and walking the streets, is Airbnbs are expanding everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
There's two buildings on my block that are now Airbnbs within the last year.
Right.
I went down to 8th Street and met the mayor of 8th Street, he called himself, Bill. And he said there's two Airbnbs there.
Mm-hmm.
And these are all affordable units that are off the market.
Right.
And so I think probably the single most important thing to do that would help on the affordable housing front, or at least stop the rise in rents from rising so rapidly, is restricting Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a discussion that I want to have. I would suggest, as a middle ground, that you have to live on the legal parcel where there's Airbnbs.
Mm-hmm.
If you're an absentee landlord, you can't have Airbnbs, mm-hmm. period.
Right.
And there's one guy, I'm told, that owns 5 buildings and is buying a 6th. He's an absentee landlord. They're all Airbnbs. So that's an important issue. I have what I call my zoning patch legislation to help on the affordable housing front, which was to exempt from parking requirements garage units and basement units.
Mm-hmm.
But I now realize I need to amend that or revise it so you don't get that relief unless it's for permanent housing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're going to use it as an Airbnb, then you don't get a waiver of the off-street parking requirements.
Because
that's the last thing we need is to build garage units and basement units and have more Airbnb.
You mean livable units, correct?
livable.
Right. Apartment units.
Apartment units. Right. There are the code and everything else, but are by definition small, or they're basements. So they should, by and large, be affordable if they're not being used for Airbnbs.
Right. So there are a lot of people doing Airbnb in Hudson. Some people say there's as many as 225 Airbnb listings in Hudson on a big weekend. So are you afraid of that you're going to anger a lot of people by saying that you want to restrict Airbnbs?
Whenever you take a stand on an issue, you're going to anger somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody loves me in Hudson. I understand. I try.
Right.
But you need to take a stand and do what you think is in the public interest. Mm-hmm. A lot of Airbnb operators live on the legal parcel.
Right.
And, of course, some rent out a room and in their apartment, and they don't even pay the lodging tax, appropriately don't pay it.
Right.
So there's a large number that wouldn't be affected by it.
Mm-hmm.
Whether the absentee landlords live in the city of Hudson or not and can vote against me, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I accept that it's the right thing to do. We talk about affordable housing, and it's disappearing at an accelerating rate before our very eyes.
Do you think that the hotels coming online, there's a number of hotels that will be coming online, do you expect that that would decrease the need for as many as Airbnbs as there are?
I certainly hope so, and I broach that issue with people. Some say it won't do much good because it's a different market segment.
If the price points are too high, it's not going to change anything.
But apparently some of these Airbnbs are getting pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So the answer is I don't know, but it certainly can hurt, and it might help.
Right.
And I love hotels and restaurants because if we ever pursue withdrawing from the county sales tax pool, we get twice as much revenue from hotels and restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We get to keep all of the money rather than just half of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's huge. So I think hotels are great.
And you've done the numbers and that's the case?
Yeah, I have the census data. I'm purchasing with my own funds some proprietary data.
Mm-hmm.
I have a study from KPMG on Saratoga Springs. I have the methodology, and I've crunched the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And if we withdraw from the sales tax pool or threaten to, I see, and this is four-year-old data, the city getting another $500,000 a year.
So for people who are listening who maybe are a little lost in what we're talking about, only cities have the right to preempt, is what they call it, preempt the sales tax so that it doesn't go to the county first and then the county takes its share and then gives us what's left over. We could take it all.
It's a little more complicated than that, but basically by preempting we get 50% rather than 30% of the pie, except for hotels and restaurants, which we would get 100%.
Mm-hmm.
It's still a little more complicated than that. But
right.
I'll leave
That's
it at
good.
That. I'll leave it at that.
At least we're there.
Then there's sidewalks.
Right.
And I thought our system of having property owners maintain those sidewalks on land they don't even own was kind of absurd out of the box.
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, it's not working.
Right.
Our sidewalks all over the city are dangerous. People are getting hurt.
Right.
So I consider that a very, very serious issue. And I discovered Ithaca, New York. And they set up assessment districts. They took over sidewalk maintenance. And they thought through the process very well. The statute is very well written. It has a progressivity feature. So if you are a homeowner or own a duplex, you pay a flat fee of about $75 a year. Other types of properties, it's based on a formula of number of feet in the sidewalk and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And then they prioritize which sidewalks to fix with all of this money, which is dedicated for this purpose. And it's proved to be very popular. And now citizens are agitating to increase their assessments to speed the process. And they coordinate with the Department of Transportation for county roads and state roads. And the county or the state will actually pay for part of the sidewalk construction and pay for the disabled ramps on the corners. And that's another thing. We can get, you know, wheelchair ramps on the corners everywhere.
And maybe a handicapped accessible city hall. That would be really great.
That would be great, too. So this is a template that's good. It's a popular program. It obviously would have to be customized to Hudson, but it's well worth looking at and would actually provide a real solution. The only other solution is just to cite everybody.
Right.
For our code enforcement officer to hand out 500 citations. Often to people who really can't afford to fix them.
Right.
They can't afford to fix their homes. The sidewalks are way down their list.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a good way to address the problem,
right.
I don't think.
You mentioned transportation. One of the other transportation problems is that there's no access to community college. Is that something that you'd look at as well?
I've looked at it in the sense of being aware of the issue. As a member of Hudson Forward, that was an issue that was discussed. And particularly my partner Dan and I a couple of times provided transportation to such students. But yes, transportation to Columbia Green is important. Transportation to the supermarkets is important.
I mean, one fundraising tool that I don't think was ever used is that they never used any advertising on the buses. I mean, you know, you could easily do advertising on the buses and use that toward the subsidy, right?
That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody has good ideas, and that's why getting more people involved is so good, because we get more ideas.
Mm-hmm.
No one person can think of everything.
Right.
So.
You know, one thing that I've noticed for a long time, and that's why I was interested that you had gotten the numbers about the sales tax, is that we've always been told that they can't divide out Hudson's sales tax because we share a zip code with Greenport, parts of Stockport, parts of Clavbrook, parts of Germantown. Why can't we have our own zip code? Is that something that you would work on? I mean, in New York City, buildings have zip codes. I mean, it seems to be insane that each of these towns can't have their own zip code. I understand that Greenport has an issue because Greenport, Long Island, is the village, I guess, and has its own zip code. So Greenport could still be called Hudson, but have a different zip code.
I question whether the mechanics of tracking retail sales is done by zip code. I think they enter specialized numbers.
Mm-hmm.
I say that because there's zip codes. There's zillions of zip codes in Columbia County, believe it or not. And some of them are partially in Rensselaer County and partially in Columbia County.
Right.
None of them match town lines or anything else. The data that I have has nothing to do with zip codes. I pursued that. I, you know, issued FOIA requests to the state and all kinds of people, the county. But there is census data that shows retail sales for the city of Hudson as a city. They have that data for any municipality that has 5,000 or more people. So I know the data for Kinderhook, for example, which has more than 5,000. But unfortunately not for Greenport, which has slightly less than 5,000. Darn it. So, but once we preempt, assuming the county doesn't make us whole by writing us a much bigger check every year, mechanically they'd have to do something so retail sales would be tracked for the city of Hudson.
Because that seemed, you know, I always never understood that was the case. That, like, you know, I mean, this is an excuse that people have used over and over and over again for not preempting the sales tax.
And I must have spent a week going down that rabbit hole on zip codes.
Right. So I'm going to remind you again that we have extended our pledge drive because we haven't raised enough money. We are looking for $20,000 in this quarter or this pledge drive, and we're only at 12,000 and change. So we're going to have to keep going on the pledge drive. So I'm hoping that for listeners out there who appreciate At Issue, that you'll give us a call here at the station at 518-697-7400, or you can go online and donate at wgxc.org/donate, or you can mail us a check the old-fashioned way. And to do that, you mail us a check to WGXC, care of Wave Farm, our parent organization, and it's 5662 Route 23, Acra, New York, ACRA, 12405. And, you know, we can't do it without you. The WGXC receives a number of grants during the course of the year. Wave Farm receives grants, but we can't make this station work without your contributions. It just doesn't add up. So if you'll give us a call here at the station, 518-697-7400, or go online and donate, wgxc.org/donate, and show a little love to WGXC, where you'll hear more voices and more sounds and more music and more points of view than any other media anywhere in this area. So we're really hoping that you'll do that. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with Steve Dunn. Steve is running for Common Council President in the City of Hudson. We'll be right back on WGXE.
How long's the break?
Bring your friends, it's fun to lose, and to pretend she's overboard and self-assured. Oh no, I know I did it, but hello, hello.
And we're back. This is At Issue on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acra. So it is our pledge drive. I mentioned right before the song, by the way, that was Smells Like Teen Spirit, the Nirvana song by Tori Amos, the cover. We still have that premium. We have a premium. It's if you make a $50 pledge, so you're going to do something good for the station. New World Home Cooking in Saugerties will do something good for you. You get a $25 gift certificate. So for your $50 contribution, you're getting $25 gift certificate back for New World Home Cooking. Rick Orlando is the chef there. He's extremely well known and kind of a celebrity chef. New World Home Cooking is on Route 212 in Saugerties, like between Saugerties and Woodstock. It's a great restaurant. And so give us a call here. Make this contribution, make a $50 contribution or more to WGXE and get a $25 gift certificate back for New World Home Cooking. Or you could just make a contribution. That's fine too. You can do a recurring contribution and help keep the many different sounds, voices, opinions, and music that you hear here at WGXE on the air. It takes a lot to run the station. We have a fee to for our transmitter. We have rent. We have a few skeleton crew employees and who are woefully underpaid for what they do. But your contribution will keep us on the air. So please give us a call, 518-697-7400, or you can donate online at wgxc.org/donate, or you can just go to wgxc.org and click on the donate little link that's there. You'll see it. So we're here with Steve Dunn. Steve is running for Common Council President. There appears that there will be a primary for the seat, and it's not looking like there's going to be a Republican opponent. Is that correct? Like somebody's going to be cross-endorsed, it sounds like?
My understanding is that Tom DiPietro has been given permission to get signatures, so he will be appearing on the Republican line.
Mm-hmm. So in essence, the primary is going to determine the race. Well, maybe not, right? So if you won the Democratic primary, then Tom would still be on the ballot on the Republican line in November. I get it. Okay.
This might end up being a long campaign.
Mm-hmm.
So that's all right.
I know that you mentioned that you wanted to talk about zoning. So let's talk a little bit about zoning before, without like getting too deep in the weeds on it.
Right. Our zoning code, as I understand it, was sold as a package to the city of Hudson by a consultant in the early 70s, and it was written for a suburb, not for a city like Hudson, mm-hmm. with densely packed buildings. So as a consequence, anytime anybody wants to adjust the footprint of their buildings, they need to go get a variance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's inconvenient and unfortunate. But the real problem with the zoning code is it's holding us back.
Mm-hmm.
It's holding us back because it has districts that are all residential or whatever. And urban planners will tell you now that having mixed-use districts is a way to go.
Mm-hmm.
Mixed-use housing of various income levels, mixed uses of retail, mixed with housing. And that is the kind of city Hudson is in places, and it would help if it was that way in more places, including in particular on the north side.
Mm-hmm.
And, for example, State Street in that area, most of it is residential, and there's one Hudsonian who I bumped into on the street that owns a building that used to be a bar, mm-hmm. right there at State and Third.
Right.
He bought the building, shut down the bar, and now he wants to open a restaurant, a takeout, affordable restaurant. Mm-hmm. This is a minority individual, mm-hmm. African American,
mm-hmm.
and it breaks my heart. Because under the zoning code, he almost certainly will not be able to do that. he would need a use variance, and he wouldn't qualify for that. So the zoning code basically needs to be rewritten that will accommodate that. And we have some templates. Newburgh, which is an old city, bigger than Hudson, totally rewrote their zoning code from top to bottom a few years ago. And it's proven to be very popular. I spoke to the city manager there and discussed it with him. Interestingly, I'm not sure this would be appropriate for Hudson, but in Newburgh, they eliminated all parking requirements. There's no off-street parking requirements for anything.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's the way to go, but one thing that was great about it, it actually tells you up front what goes to the planning board, what goes to the ZBA when, and that's another area where there's mass confusion now.
The ZBA is the Zoning Board of Appeals, so and that's where you go if you're asking to do something that's outside the that is allowed under the zoning, right?
That's correct.
And you sit on that board.
I'm a member of that board, yes.
So you've seen a lot of the problems that people come to the ZBA with, and I think that's that firsthand knowledge, I think, could be very helpful.
Just to give one extreme example, the side yards need to be 10 feet wide.
Right.
The standard lot size
is 25.
Is 25 feet, so that leaves you with a 5 foot wide building.
Right.
So you need a variance.
Right.
And we give out those variances as a matter of course. Mm-hmm. But the applicant typically has to pay a lawyer and incur the expense. It's a 2-month delay period.
Right.
It's a pain in the butt. But as I say, it's the zoning code is holding the city back.
So give me the top 5 things that you'd want to change in the zoning.
I would like to allow more mixed-use development. There's something called form zoning, where you have an overlay and you can be more specific about, because you don't want a restaurant maybe in one spot. You'd rather have it somewhere else, so you can get down more on a micro level. We have these vast swaths of land that are unused, basically, including that industrial facility there at the south end of town. Plus,
so you're meeting the Kaz warehouse, the old McGuire overhead door warehouse.
And one Hudsonian told me the prison population at the prison in Hudson is down to 60 people, and there's talk of closing it. So there's a lot of empty land down there, and we need adequate zoning to deal with that, including having affordable housing requirements. There is an affordable housing requirement in the Riverfront Core District that was written relatively recently, about 5 years ago. But other than that, there's no such requirement. And for larger developments on these larger tracts of land, there certainly should be. And then a discussion about off-street parking and where to do away with it and where to keep it. There's no off-street parking requirement now, as we speak, for residential units on Warren Street. So it's not uniform even now. So those are, and having setback requirements that make sense, which AKA almost no setback requirements for,
right,
much,
I mean,
for much of the city.
I know that the I've spoken with the code enforcement officer about the side setbacks, because there are requirements as far as fire code that firefighters have to be able to get back to the back of the house, so they have to be able to maneuver through some passageway. So there has to be some setback, but
there needs to be a 3-foot wide passage from the building to a street somewhere, from the front door to a street outside. That's right.
And 3 feet is the fire code?
I think that's the standard. That's the width of passageways is 3 feet. Yes, that's right.
What else? What are you going to work on? What will be your first thing that you'll do when you're elected?
First thing I would do is have a meeting with the alder persons that are elected to discuss the rules that we want to live by.
Mm-hmm.
And then we would try to follow those rules and understand them, rules of decorum and so forth, and everybody would take ownership of them. And hopefully we would have meetings where decorum is observed.
That would be unique.
Well, I'm optimistic that'll happen for a variety of reasons. I would also meet with each alderperson and ask what they want to accomplish for the city.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd help them do that behind the scenes, in front of the scenes.
Right.
Help them find templates, bounce ideas back and forth, mm-hmm. help write legislation for them. So I want to empower the members of the council. And hopefully by empowering them and giving them specific ideas to the extent I can, or reaching out and getting ideas, they might be more motivated to work on mm-hmm. stuff that they want to accomplish, because
right.
they have something concrete. You can go do this, you can go do that. I think I've already alluded to this, but the city has almost no staff. So this is a way to kind of generate people to actually work on stuff mm-hmm. and actually get stuff done. And then we desperately need a planning board in the city, at mm-hmm. least one person, preferably two. And if we get all of this additional revenue from the sales tax, that is one area I would strongly suggest we think about as a place to expend funds, in part because it'll more than pay for itself, I think, because for affordable housing and some of these other projects, much of it is using other people's money, mm-hmm. a.k.a. grants.
Mm-hmm.
And our grant process is somewhat chaotic and balkanized and at the last moment. And if we had a planning staff that could organize all this and generate a more updated, comprehensive plan, we could, on a more systematic basis, go after these grants.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm told by Sheena Savino, who works for a couple of...
Salvino.
Bodies affiliated with the city, that there's no limit to the number of grants we can seek. There's mm-hmm. not a quota.
Right.
So we should go after everything that we think we'd be competitive on. And part of the process is figuring out what we need in a concrete way based on a plan.
I mean, Greenport, with no zoning, has a planning department, for God's sake. You know, it's crazy.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So...
If you're just joining us, we're with Steve Dunn. Steve is running for Common Council President in the city of Hudson. Go ahead.
And then the other thing I see myself doing as an attorney, practiced law all my professional career, is one skill we have is working to achieve compromise, negotiating compromises, because I would like to see these goals accomplished in a way where there's substantial consensus
mm-hmm.
rather than winners and losers and acrimony, where everybody gets a piece of the pie.
Mm-hmm.
One part of the city gets their dog park, another part of the city, you know, gets more affordable housing and transportation. All parts of the city get good sidewalks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of the most expensive part of the cities have some of the worst sidewalks, mm-hmm. which is kind of surprising. You'd think they'd be in good shape, but they're not.
Some of the housing is in the worst shape, too, and they're trying to
yeah.
keep down their assessments.
Well, yeah. Sometimes you don't know what's on the inside.
Right, exactly. But some of them, we've been on the inside.
That's another issue. It's coming up. It's not per se part of the job of the Common Council President, but we're having a citywide reassessment next year.
Do you think that the salaries for elected officials is appropriate? Do you think that
no,
they need to be
too
changed?
Low? Again, you only have so much money,
right.
and you have to prioritize mm-hmm. how you're going to spend money. And our property taxes are horrifically high. So that's a non-starter, getting more money from the property tax.
Mm-hmm.
Some people might want to, if we get additional revenue, use a little bit of it to give some relief,
mm-hmm.
maybe on an income-based basis. I don't know. But, yeah, and the problem is the salaries are so low that a working person has a job certainly can't afford to give it up.
Right.
And if they've got a family and so forth, how much time can they give to the job? So that kind of, for people who are really going to put their all in it and work their hearts out, you're talking about people who are unemployed with an interest in government or retired people.
Right.
Like me. And that excludes everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And we lose a lot of good people that way.
Right.
So there's a real cost to underpaying people. You know, the mayor making $45,000 a year is ridiculous.
Well, especially when the treasurer makes more than that.
And
I mean, the council president, those three positions are equal in power because they all sit on the board of estimate and make the budget. And two out of three have to agree. So they are really equals, but yet the council president is paid. I mean, it used to be paid not long ago, like six grand or something, or eight grand.
I think
grand.
It's up to 14,000.
Right. It's still
but
very low.
I'm not asking for a pay raise. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not doing this for the money. But I'm just saying,
I mean, you're not going to be council president forever either. So
that's right.
So, I mean, we do have to look at these and these problems and professionalize the city government. I mean, people who have expertise and are out in the job market should be able to run for these seats and leave their job and serve.
They should be full time. The mayor, the common council president, and obviously the treasurer. Should be full-time job,
right.
Particularly when we don't have much staff.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately down the road, I hope we can have a serious dialogue.